is joining us here this morning again, and I'm glad he is because there is so much to talk about. Good morning, Senator.
How you doing, Tom?
Very, very good. I tell you, I was going through my homework on Sunday night. The first thing I ran into that I started my notes with was Ban Russian Energy Imports Act with Senator Dick Durbin and your co-sponsor out of Alaska, Lisa Murkowski.
Strong bipartisan measure, and it's going to happen. What President Biden did was to sit down with our NATO allies and make sure that they would either not be hurt, number one, or number two, join us in the effort. We've really worked to keep NATO together and strong, and I think this is the way to go. I mean, honest to goodness, on a bipartisan basis, we look at the atrocities that are occurring in Ukraine and think twice about whether or not we're subsidizing those with Russian oil. It's time for us to find new sources and to get away from Russian dependence.
And one of your ideas, a new press release that I read last evening, you and Tammy Duckworth talking about biofuels, but while we're talking about season-long use of biofuels, we should also should include in that question, shouldn't we start looking to domestic sources more intensely?
Well, of course we should, and we've been doing that, but I think we could do more. If you take a look at the record, we have had trouble with gasoline prices started back in, 2020, almost 2 years ago. They started going, being affected by COVID-19. Then, of course, the economy is on the rebound, 7 million new jobs and the businesses coming back. So the demand has increased dramatically. U.S. production has increased in the last year from 9.7 million barrels a day to 11.6 million. And the number of oil rigs operating was 172 when COVID was started. We're now up to 519 in operation. So we have put the pedal to the metal in terms of American domestic production. The president, I was at a meeting with him and the Democrats in the Senate last night. He's going to sources, non-traditional sources, to make sure we have more oil coming in. But we've seen that the price of gas go up 75 cents since in the last 2 weeks, 75 cents a gallon in the last 2 weeks, over what it was before, and it has a lot to do with Putin and the uncertainty of the future.
Had the American public got a lesson in diplomatic maneuvering when the offer to backfill Poland's jets if they give MiGs to the Ukraine and Poland says, no, we'll give them to you and you give them to the Ukraine out of a German Air Force base? We just got schooled in diplomacy in the American public and just the level of operation, because you understand, you know, Poland's going, hey, you know what? Russia knows where we sleep.
Well, I'll tell you, it was the Russian, it was the Polish government, and I met 2 weeks ago with a man by the name of Duda, he's their president, and he is supportive of NATO's position on this, of course, because we're defending his country, too, in the process. But he decided to take these controversial 20 or 27 Soviet-era Russian MiGs and to say, wait a minute, I don't want the responsibility for this decision. We're going to park them at a U.S. air base. You all decide what to do. Well, what Biden said last night, several times directly to us, we are not going to get into World War III over Ukraine. We're going to help them in any way that we can within the confines of keeping this war contained. But we're not going to risk World War III. And his fear, Biden's fear, was that if we allowed Ukrainian pilots to come to a U.S. air base just outside the border of Ukraine and to fly these MiGs out, Putin could take preemptive action and attack that base, and then we would be in the soup. So, yes, you're right. We learned what the high-stakes diplomacy means. And it stay at risk here is the use of nuclear weapons, tactical or strategic.
You know, Senator, when I saw the Senate passing the bill on the anti-lynching legislation, but my gut screams, isn't hanging someone, lynching someone, isn't that already illegal? What was the differentiation?
Well, the differentiation is, it's interesting, Tom. If you looked at the most heated race issue since the Civil War, it's the federal anti-lynching statute. Now, hard as it may be to believe, there have been three known reported lynchings in our state of Illinois. Two of them in one was in central Illinois, one was in the metro east area, and one was in southern Illinois. It happened, and maybe some went unreported. The point is, this is more symbolic than it is actual in terms of prosecution. but it is really saying, for goodness sakes, this was one of the darkest chapters in American history, and we want to say once and for all that this is a crime. In terms of whether there'll be any active prosecution at the federal level, doubtful. Thank God we're not in an era where that's happening anymore, but it was an important symbol, and I supported it, and it was a bipartisan measure.
You know, I'm fairly thankful you will join us last week, and with so much that's going on this week, 2 weeks in a row, to be able to cover issues, because I knew there was no way you and I were going to be talking next week, because you are going to be very busy when it starts with Supreme Court nominee hearings.
March 21st. We're going to have 4 days of hearings on this nominee. She's now visiting Senate offices. She will visit with every Democrat and every Republican senator on the Judiciary Committee and more. I think she's going to make a good impression. I like her. I'm going to support her. She has the support, incidentally, of the Fraternal Order of Police, which may surprise some of your listeners. They believe she's been fair to law enforcement and want to see her on the Supreme Court. This woman has been approved by the Senate Judiciary Committee 3 different times, and each time was a promotion giving her more responsibility. I think she's ready for this assignment. If you're going to be the first of anything, you've got to be the best, and I think she is.
You know, I wonder about this, and more people are beginning to ask, is Illinois laundering drug money? When they have marijuana business legally, operations of banks are federally regulated, and the business itself has to deal in cash. But portion of that money goes to the state of Illinois, and then they re-disseminate it. Is Illinois laundering cash by a federal standard, and does this need to be addressed in D.C.?
Yes, it does. It's clear it does. We have, I don't know how many total number of states now have legalized marijuana. We're one of them. And yet, at the federal level, we still treat it as a felony and a crime. Now, what in the heck's going on here? How can it be a federal crime and we're encouraging people to advertise and use the product at a state level? Now, let me just weigh in and say this. I think the prosecution of people for using marijuana got out of hand completely. I can remember going back to the days when I was a lawyer in Springfield, and tear-filled parents would call me and say, my son just got arrested when smoking a joint.
Right.
Tell me about this thing called the Bill of Rights. You know, so we would sit down and defend them. It got out of hand. It got completely out of hand. I am not one of these people that's beating the drum for legalizing marijuana, but I am for treating it fairly and honestly, and I'm not going to go on a crusade to stop what's happening in our state and other states. But the federal law is totally inconsistent. While we say it's legal, the feds are saying, wait a minute, it's a narcotic and a crime. And the net result of that thing is a mess. You've just identified laundering. The banking system, which depends on federal deposit insurance, has basically said, don't do any business with the people selling cannabis or marijuana. That makes no sense to me. We need to put, they don't need to have a cash economy. We need to put them in the regular course of business since so many states have legalized the product.
All right, before I let you go this morning, inflation is a major issue. The price of gas, oil, we talked about this at the beginning, and your idea of a national emergency act, and we're seeing more of this being voted on and discussed on the floor, Senate and the House and the like. But, you know, inflation in and of itself, because my understanding is that the idea of additional stimulus checks is being floated in Washington.
I'm for that, but I'll tell you something. I was challenged with being asked, is that inflationary? Does that put more money into the economy to be spent and to drive up prices because of the limited supply of goods and services? And I have to tell you, based on the economics I've learned as a student and such, there's some value to that argument. I think what we need to do is to make sure that there is no price gouging by the oil companies, for example. They are in the catbird seat at this point. You know, they see all these reasons why they can raise the price of gasoline, and they're jumping on the bandwagon. The fact is, if they overdo it, we've got to come down hard on them. They have to play ball. We don't want to have American oligarchs, these oil companies, taking advantage of consumers and businesses across America and raising the cost of fuel beyond reach.
Yeah, but you know, in Illinois, we've got this state taxes tied into inflation, so we went from 39 to like 69 cents state tax per gallon.
Well, we're at 18 cents a gallon at the federal level,
yeah.
And there's talk about removing that to help. It helps only a little bit, but at least it's a step in the right direction. I'm not against that.
Yeah, Colorado, Michigan, Minnesota, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin all sent letters apparently asking for that suspension of 18.4% gallon tax. Before I let you go, what is on your mind today, Senator? Before I let you go, what is the big object that you need to draw our attention to that we haven't discussed?
Well, at the highest level, of course, is Ukraine. And right next to it, because they are linked together, is helping businesses and families deal with this inflation. I go home on the weekends to Illinois, to Springfield and Chicago, and take a look at what people are paying for things. It's gone up dramatically, and it really has outstripped any increase in income. But there's one issue that I want to just raise, and that is what's going on with this baseball lockout. You know, I'm a baseball fan, and a lot of your listeners are. This is wrong. It's been 100 days as of Friday that the Major League Baseball owners have shut down the spring training and the beginning of the season. This is out of hand. These franchises are worth up to $2 billion apiece and more, and they are trying to make more money on them. I respect the game enough to say this has got to end. The lockout has to be unlocked as soon as possible. As chairman of the Judiciary Committee, I'm contemplating a hearing on the baseball antitrust exemption. I hope that gets the attention of the owners.
Senator Dick Durbin, and as always, sir, I appreciate every minute of your time at a very busy time.
Thanks, John.